together, and we will get through it together. And now stay tuned for today's episode of Disability Beat. This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for an interview with Lily Wilcock and Caitlin Hilliard, representing Imagine Urbana, a planning project studying, among other things, the inclusion of people with disabilities in the city of Urbana. But first, disability news for the week of March 22, 2021. Legislation that could transform the nation's system of home and community-based services, eliminating waiting lists and allowing people with disabilities to move across state lines without forfeiting services and supports, is finally in development. A draft bill known as the HCBS Access Act would require Medicaid to provide home and community-based services to everyone who is eligible and establish a minimum set of services that states must offer. The bill also would help states create a network of providers and workers to deliver those supports. The plan has been proposed by U.S. Representative Debbie Dingell of Michigan, along with Senators Maggie Hassan of New Hampshire, Bob Casey of Pennsylvania, and Sherrod Brown of Ohio. The lawmaker said the discussion draft is a first step to creating HCBS support for all those who are eligible and choose HCBS, and they are seeking feedback in the next few weeks before introducing it a formal bill. Said Nicole Jorwick, Senior Director of Public Policy at the ARC, who's advocating for the legislation, quote, "It's not an overstatement to say this would be a game changer for services and supports for people with disabilities," end quote. Since home and community-based services originated in the early 1980s, they have been optional. States provide the services through Medicaid waivers, which differ from one place to another and are limited, meaning that people with disabilities often spend years on waiting lists before they can access supports. Waivers were tied to the states where a person lives, so if a person moves, they often must start the waiting list process again. Medicaid guarantees institutional services to those who qualify. Under the draft legislation, that would change. Home and community-based services would be mandatory in the Medicaid program, much like institutional services have already been. According to Jorwick, quote, "For the 850,000 people on waiting lists, this would be life-changing. When you pull that many people into the system, you're not only helping the people getting the supports and services, you're also helping family caregivers who are currently filling the gaps in the service system," end quote. The draft bill would send more federal funding to states and create a basic menu of required home and community-based services nationwide that states could choose to enhance. Advocates say this would eliminate confusion for families and simplify things for states, which currently operate a range of waiver programs, each with their own target populations and rules. The lawmakers intend to include provisions in the bill to strengthen the workforce that provides support to people with disabilities in the community, but they are currently lacking specifics about that piece of the plan. The move comes after President Joe Biden proposed eliminating waiting lists for home and community-based services and boosting the direct care workforce during his campaign last year. Michigan educators are calling on President Joe Biden to fully fund special education, as many see the change in the White House as a chance to increase support for children with disabilities and their families, while easing pressure on state and local education budgets. Robert McCann, executive director of the K-12 Alliance of Michigan, said the Biden administration needs to deliver on the federal government's promise to fully fund the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act to support special education programs and ultimately benefit every student in Michigan. School districts are required by law to provide a free, appropriate public education to students with disabilities, regardless of cost. Law also requires them to provide services outlined in individual education programs known as IEPs or 504 plans that outline specific accommodations for a student. Dedicated federal and state funding has never covered the full cost of services, so costs not covered from dedicated revenue sources must be paid from the district's general operating budget. Nearly all school districts do that, said Craig Teal, research director for the Citizens Research Council of Michigan. More than 200,000 children served by public schools in Michigan have moderate to severe disabilities, with educational plans and therapies that rely on the structure of a classroom setting and face-to-face services and lessons. Education experts say children with disabilities are among those most challenged in accessing instruction through computers and tablets. While many districts have kept all students at home on virtual learning plans, several Michigan districts are offering some in-school services to families whose children have disabilities, with phased-in approaches that include limited hours and reduced class sizes. Michael Testa is the parent of a child in special ed in Livonia Public Schools, while he says the Wayne County District has provided whatever his seventh grade daughter has needed in her specialized classrooms. He knows funding for students with disabilities comes up short. Still, Testa says a permanent solution within the state should be sought rather than hoping for money for 4 years during the Biden administration and then having to ask again. And finally, a documentary about the emergence of the disability rights movement produced by former President Barack Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama is up for an Academy Award. Crip Camp, A Disability Revolution was nominated last week for Best Documentary Feature. The film follows a group of teenagers with disabilities who came together in the early 1970s at a summer camp near Woodstock, New York, who advocated for civil rights protections for themselves and others like them. Many of the alumni of the camp played key roles in protests that led to the passage of the Americans with Disabilities Act. Crip Camp, which premiered on Netflix last March, includes footage taken at the camp. The documentary is produced by the Obama's production company, Higher Ground, and both Barack and Michelle Obama are credited as executive producers. According to former President Obama, quote, "When we saw Crip Camp, we thought that it was right in our wheelhouse. That is exactly the sorts of stories we wanted to see. It was inspiring. It was motivating. It spoke to how communities get formed. It taught all of us the effort it requires and the courage it requires to be heard, and how important it is for those of us who in the past have been marginalized to sometimes get into what my dear friend John Lewis called good trouble in order to create a better America and a better world," end quote. Crip Camp won the U.S. Documentary Audience Award at the Sundance Film Festival last year. A documentary about the emergence of the disability rights movement produced by former President Barack Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama. And Crip Camp won the award last year. And that's the news for this week.
If today was not a crooked highway, if tonight was not a crooked trail, if tomorrow wasn't such a long time, then lonesome would mean nothing to you at all. Isn't only if my own true love is weak.
You are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is Disability Beat. I'm Vicki Nicewander, and I'm joined today by two guests on the phone, Lily Wilcock and Caitlin Hilliard, who are both involved in Imagine Urbana, which is a project studying a lot of things, including the inclusion of people with disabilities in the city of Urbana. So welcome to the program, ladies. I'm so glad to have you on.
Thank you.
So good to be here. Thanks.
So, Lily, why don't we start with you? Just introduce yourself. I'll have Caitlin introduce herself, and then you can find out who's going to talk about the project as a whole. How's that?
That sounds perfect. Yeah, my name is Lily Wilcock. I am a planner at the City of Urbana. So I do a lot of land use, housing, transportation kind of projects for the City of Urbana in the Community Development Department.
Okay, and Caitlin?
My name is Caitlin Hilliard. I'm actually a master's student in the Department of Urban Regional Planning at the University of Illinois. So I'm basically in training to do what Lily does now.
Ah, interesting. So who would like to talk about what Imagine Urbana is all about?
Well, I can, if that's okay.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Lily, go for it.
Well, so Imagine Urbana is it's the visioning portion of the comprehensive plan of Urbana. And comprehensive plans, kind of what they sound like, are these comprehensive policy documents that kind of guide regulations, budgeting, and all sorts of the things in the day-to-day work that the City of Urbana does. Other kinds of governmental agencies, they kind of have strategic plans and their little arms because they have their particular object that they do. But one of the things that cities do is that they have this land use and development control. And one of the things that in order to kind of keep us in check and in tune with the voice of the people and what the people, how they want to see the community grow, and also to have this kind of conversation about what is healthy development, what is community growth, and really kind of provide the city providing its citizens with that kind of information while we're also gathering that kind of feedback and input from the people of Urbana, but also the people who shop at Urbana, the people who go to Urbana, people who are a part of our community in one way or another. It's the future plan. So there's, of course, issues that bubble up about, you know, what's bothering you, what you'd like to see the city tackle today. But there's also these larger, bigger picture items that really usually the staff will have to kind of make sure that we keep everything on that future time scale. And then once we start doing that, we start having more and more specific strategies, themes that bubble from this, and goals. And as we start drafting that, we constantly check in with the community. When we have that document, it gets approved by City Council. We start using that document, again, to guide regulations, to guide development, to guide budgeting items. So it's a really large, comprehensive plan, and oftentimes by state law, we're kind of required to make sure that we have it address land use and transportation. But it also guides more than that these days. Many comprehensive plans also guide arts and culture. It guides larger community events, food systems, climate change and climate resilience, economic development and growth. So a lot of those kinds of healthy and safe communities, those items also can be rolled into that visioning process. So Imagine Urbana is just that. It's us encouraging the City of Urbana to imagine what Urbana could be, what we'd like to go, and how do we get there.
And how did people with disabilities become a part of this process? Because I've heard of lots of strategic plans and planning processes before, but never at a city level where people with disabilities were addressed specifically.
Yeah, so that's actually that's a really interesting point, because really what we're trying to do is making sure that our plan is as equitable as possible and gathers more as many voices across Urbana as possible. In general, it's a little bit difficult for us to get a lot of people really excited about, you know, community government processes, and especially folks who have been not encouraged and certainly not reached out to specifically before for these planning processes to know what their voice is being contributing to, how it affects them, and how it's important. And so we have, at the city level, we have decades and decades of development that hasn't really addressed a lot of the issues. Many different communities that aren't usually participating in that local level, that local government level. They don't address their needs and concerns, and it doesn't grow with the community. So we have a lot of work to do in telling people how it affects you, but it also means that we have to do a lot of extra targeted outreach. So that's going out to certain communities that haven't been involved, they aren't involved, and making sure that we're asking, please, if you can, share your vision of Urbana so we can better address your needs and concerns for future growth, development, policies, etc.
And so, Caitlin, you're a part of the University of Illinois. I'm sure that as a large part of Urbana, that the university is involved as well. So what is happening with the university as far as their piece of this?
Well, that's been a really great opportunity for us. So I am one of a group of five students, in actually as part of our coursework that's working with the city specifically on this outreach to people with disabilities. We're doing it as one of the required classes in order to get our degree, but we're also just excited to do it because the planning department at the University of Illinois has attracted a lot of students to it, partially because of its emphasis on equity and social justice. And so I think a lot of us seek out an education there because we want to bring more people into the conversation, and we want planning processes in cities not just to be the same voices. I should mention also that in addition to having our group of five students that's working with people with disabilities, there are three other groups in the class that are working with other populations, specifically second and third shift workers. We have a group working with the Latino community and a group working with Urbana's Black community. And we also kind of want to recognize that there might be some intersectionality among those groups and that people aren't just one thing. So reaching out to, you know, people across and among those groups is really important to these planning processes. And we're really happy to be involved with the city's efforts.
It sounds like it. And so how far along are you in this process? When did you start? When do you anticipate, you know, having a complete picture? And what are some of the things that need to happen yet before your plan is complete?
Well, I'm so glad you asked that, because when I talk about it, sometimes I'm so far in the weeds of the planning process that it's I should definitely mention it's not next week.
Yeah, doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, right. Well, so we're actually just getting started and kicked off, but it's one of those things where getting kicked off on the right foot is really important to us in this process. So we're really, we've got a website launch. It's imagineurbana.com. We're going to be launching a texting service soon, where someone can answer a couple of brief questions on their phone. But we're just starting this. We're going to have paper surveys later down the road, and we're going to be at events as we keep opening up in the community as safely as possible and following the guidance of the CU Public Health District. But we're just in this beginning of a visioning process. The community really is going to be hearing a lot from us about what we uncover and what we're hearing from people. But as we're hearing those things, we're also having to provide more data, more information on these issues as they bubble up. There's a lot of really interesting things to kind of get people out of their neighbors or their neighborhood, their particular bubble or network, social network. And we're trying to kind of reach into as many of those networks and show everybody a more complete picture of what is Urbana. It's not just one neighborhood. It's actually many, many neighborhoods with many different people. So we're kind of in this phase where we're collecting that public input, and we're creating these stories. The stories are something that we're hoping to have and partner with other groups across the city in telling those stories, telling about Urbana, telling people more about some of the issues that they're concerned with and that we heard about in this phase. And this whole process, and then after that, you know, drafting goals and a vision and getting us to actual actionable implementation strategies, that whole process can last 2 to 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, they'll definitely
kind
have
of feel
to
like
be back
selling a car, you know.
Exactly. Like, kind of building the car as you're driving down the road. Is that what you're
Exactly.
So what is some of the information that you're looking for specifically from folks with disabilities? Although I'm sure that there is a lot of crossover between different communities and cultures in Urbana as well.
Yeah, what, Caitlin, you want to answer that?
Well, I mean, I think, so since we've been as students thinking about strategies to engage these different communities, and I should mention our first kind of opportunity to talk to us is we're going to be at the Lincoln Square Mall's indoor market this Saturday. So if you want to, stop by and see us. But what we're planning to do there is, you know, kind of broadly ask people questions. What's working for you in Urbana? What isn't working for you so well? What places are important to you, or what places are not accessible to you? What places do you wish you could go or engage with that you're unable to? What do you see the future of the community? I mean, these are all very broad questions, but we don't want to sit there and ask people, you know, what is the bus stop outside of your house like? Because we want people to kind of filter for us what they think is the most important for the city to know. We'd love to hear about the bus stop in front of your house if it's, you know, if that's part of what you want to talk to us about. But at the same time, it's kind of like a comprehensive plan, like Lily said, is kind of a visioning document. So we really want to hear from people with disabilities, you know, if you could look down into the future of Urbana, what would it look like to be a good community for you? And part of that, I think, is also grappling with, you know, maybe some of the challenges people have had before.
Right. And so are you interested in speaking only with people who are residents of Urbana or the community of people with disabilities as a whole?
I think it's more as a whole, because we have people who maybe work in Urbana or visit Urbana or spend time in Urbana. Just because you don't live here doesn't mean you're not part of the community. Is that, that's correct, Lily, right?
That is absolutely and totally correct. Yeah, it's anyone who interacts with our community, and you never know, you might end up living in Urbana, right? You know, we definitely are open to anybody who has constructive future vision, concerns, needs. We want to build a healthy community for all, and there's this thing called kind of universal design, and it's one of those things that building a community for you know, several different needs or concerns oftentimes has a lot of like unintended positive consequences for many other people as well. So these are the kinds of things that I think we're collecting those ideas right now.
Yeah. So universal design, just to give folks an example, might be electric doors that open when you walk up to them so that people don't have to deal with doors, which were invented to benefit folks with disabilities, but benefit everyone as a whole, right? And ramps,
yep,
for
absolutely.
Instance, you know, you can walk up the ramp as well as you can steps in many cases. But if you have a stroller or use a wheelchair, a ramp is essential. So, universal design is a great, great idea to go with. I'm very happy that you're using that, because it's very important. So what help do you need from the disability community yet? Are you still looking for more folks to talk to, and in what format? Other than, is there a way that people can participate if they can't make it to the Winter Farmers Market this Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, that's not the only time we're going to be out in the community. So that's the good thing, is if you can't make it this Saturday, we're also planning to have tables at the Urbana Free Library over a couple weeks in April, although we need to finalize those dates. We're also going to drop off some paper surveys and some maps you can draw on and get back to us at various places in town, including the library. And we just generally like to hear from you. Lily, I don't know if you'd like to add. I feel like I cut you off.
Oh, no. Well, just filed under generally like to hear from you. A really great way, too, is if you can't go to the website, and there's a short registration process, and that's just so we can make sure, you know, we can always follow up with you if you'd like us to, trying to be as transparent as possible. And if you go online and you fill out that short registration, you can actually fill out a survey on that website. There's also that's a really great way to contribute, because that's where we can collect. We ask you, what are some of your concerns and opportunities? We ask you, what are some of the things you love
what are some things that are challenges about Urbana, about the community, and give you a little bit of room and space to talk about this future and how you'd like to see us, where you'd like to see us go. But also there's another kind of survey tool, and you can see where other people have contributed to it. It's called Places, Urbana Places. And it's a map where you click on it and you can drop pins and add comments. It could be something that you love. It could be something that's a challenge. It could be something that is an opportunity for you. And so that's where, you know, if you're having issues with a particular area, or you think that there's, you know, this opportunity for a grocery store, or there's an, you'd like to see more people in this place, those are all really great kinds of comments to place on kind of a visual, geographic sense. So there's a couple of different ways of doing it besides these fun, Caitlin, these really amazing sounding and fun outreach engagement events. If you're wanting to do something at home and online, there's also this website. And that's a great way to just make sure that you're on our radar. We've got your information and we can keep this conversation going.
And
yeah, and we definitely don't want to pressure people to come out in person if they're unable to do so. Or, I mean, we want to be cognizant, too, that there's still a pandemic going on. So we would love to see you in person. We'll obviously be socially distanced and wearing masks, and we'll have plenty of hand sanitizer. But if you're uncomfortable with that, please do not feel like that is shutting you out of the conversation. Like Lily said, there are other ways to reach us, and we'd still really love to hear from you.
Yeah, and what a great time to do this. I mean, really, because we're kind of starting from scratch at this point, following the pandemic. I give you all the credit. Now, just because we've talked about the city of Urbana, we've talked about the university involvement, I know there are a lot of other organizations involved. You want to just name a few of those so people get a sense of who all is working on this plan?
Yeah, we've been talking to a lot of really, you know, what's amazing is this community is how many people are really involved and really care about continuing the growth of the community. So for instance, we've been talking to, you know, these are the early stages and early days, but we've been talking to Head Start, and we've been talking to RPC, Regional Planning Commission, in general. We've been, you know, we have this amazing class that's helping us with the Department of Urban Planning and tackling some of these issues. We've talked to the Cunningham Township, who does a lot of really great work in the community. We've talked to Park District as well. Some of the Urbana Free Library, you heard Caitlin talk about partnering with them. Mm-hmm. There's all these organizations. The city of Urbana, besides our arts and culture program, we don't do a lot of programming. We really make sure that, you know, streets and fire and police and some of the infrastructure and leaf pickup that's really what the majority of, you know, city staff really focus on, and you know, housing safety and development. So programming is much more fundamental to, say, the library or the park district. And so those organizations, for instance, are really helping us out and helping us with it, transitioning and asking for that kind of programming assistance and building more connections to the community. The last thing that we would like to do is create another Zoom meeting that someone has to fit into their already busy schedule and in the pandemic. So there's a lot of different organizations who have reached out to us, and we've been reaching out to more organizations. If you're listening to this and you're part of an organization and you'd like to, you know, get your group of people involved with the city of Urbana and involved with sharing your thoughts and ideas for the vision of Urbana, feel free to contact us. And that's where you can go to imagineurbana.com. You can also find my name and many other people's names on the City of Urbana's website. And you can reach out to us. We'd love to meet with your organization, collect your thoughts and ideas. We could ask, do an interview over Zoom. We could even do, if it's outside and it's safe, we can do all sorts of different things to kind of hear from more people than is traditionally represented in our comprehensive plan.
Well, I certainly appreciate your energy and your passion for this project. I know that it will carry you a long way, and I hope you will stay in touch as you move forward with this, and maybe we'll even see you there on Saturday at the Lincoln Square Mall. So thank you so much. The website again is imagineurbana.com. Is there any other way for people to contact you? Or is that the best?
That's the best way to get a hold of us. And my email address is on that, as well as my coworker, Andrea Rudy.
Okay.
Our emails are there, and you can get a hold of us.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining me today, Lily Wilcock and Caitlin Hilliard. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
This and other episodes of Disability Beat are available at weft.org/public affairs for updates and information.